Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Excuse me, just clearing my throat, ready to do it.
Huey Green.
Sorry, I've been eating that hot dog.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, more on that later. Lee Wingate from the Sweeper podcast, which gets all these weird and wonderful tales from
great
the world
stories
of football around
really
the world,
like
joined
it, yeah,
us. He had some good tales. Tim Vickery is back in Rio, which meant he was in the heart of the storm, really, around Vinicius and the racist abuse he suffered playing in the Liga. Tim brought all the latest and all the reaction from Brazil. We had a chat, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
We covered some ground. You got involved with some very interesting emails, texts and tweets. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Paul. And afternoon, everybody. Fletch there, we were taking him to task when he said that.
Well, no, he was technically
right. But he was
right.
Technically, he's right. He said Brighton need a point, but they don't because
Villa would need to win 16-0.
Yeah. Mathematically, is the most annoying thing
let's
people
go
say this
who
year.
Have they got the weekend? Did we say we found out who Villa have got? Didn't we?
Yeah.
Did we
what
did really decide? They have
Brighton
got
away. Brighton home.
Brighton at home.
Yeah.
So they would need to be, if it's 0-0 tonight.
Yeah.
It's Adrian says, let's go back to Villa Park. It's incredible. They're 16-0, Adrian. who's going to go do the game, I wonder?
Not going to happen.
No, it does seem very unlikely. Ollie Watkins would have to be right on it, I would imagine, for that to happen. But look, technically Fletch is right. But we'll have a look at the game. Stephen Grant, Brighton fan, is going to join us a little bit later on. Look at the job that De Zerbi has done.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and yeah. And look at it tonight. I imagine it's going to be a really entertaining match. There,
two very entertaining teams. Yeah. Lots of good footballers on show. You know, yeah, you just got to enjoy the football this time of the year. I mean, it wasn't, you know, my son didn't really want to go on Sunday, but for Chelsea Newcastle. But you know, Newcastle have got some very good players.
Yeah,
I said to him, it's a chance to say goodbye to some good old friends and servants like Cesar Azpilicueta, and bid good riddance to others.
Oh, their okay, but you're not going to name those ones, okay?
And Todd Bowley has announced he's to step back from football operations at Chelsea. You're getting about 12 months too late, mate. Thanks. Well done. What a tremendous effort. Anyway, last night I couldn't find any sport I wanted to watch, but it was medals day at the Chelsea Flower Show.
Oh, okay. Yes. You counting that as sport?
I do, really.
So they put their medals on the table. They put their medals on the garden table.
Yeah, medals on the bird table.
Yeah, medals on the bird table.
Nicky Chapman goes around with the medals at about 7 o'clock in the morning. It's quite exciting. The people who get gold are very delighted.
What, Nicky Chapman off of Pop Idol?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what she's got to do with it, but she's always her job to go around and say...
She goes around with the medals. She's
well,
the Richard
really,
Masters.
It's a funny sort of medal.
She?
It's like a card with a medal on it. She gives them the card and said, you've won gold.
Wow.
And they go, ooh. And then they get silver. Ooh. Silver gilt is the one they don't like.
Why is that?
Well, it's second. It's like not as good, is it?
No, I suppose
obviously,
not.
Obviously, and they're sort of disappointed.
They're still in the Champions League places,
yeah,
though, aren't they?
They are, but yeah, they're not happy about it. And then Monty, not Panesar, what's his name?
Monty Dom.
Monty
Dom. I love Monty Dom.
He goes and looks at the Silver Gilt Gardens and analyses with the other fellow why they didn't win. It's quite sporty, really.
Yeah.
Honestly, the gardens this year, though, Chelsea, it's just weeds. It's really odd.
Well, it's a sort
weeds
of symbol of your
rust
club. Weeds and rust. Chelsea's first year under Todd Boehly.
Honestly,
they've done it. They've done it. They've done it in the image of the team. It's most. It should be the Brighton Flower Show.
It's all about sustainability. They should be really. Mm. It's a really odd thing though. That, you know, it is just. They've got the flower pavilion, but none of the flowers in the flower pavilion are in any of the gardens because apparently flowers are out.
I've never known you so animated, Andy. You get more upset than you do about football. We want to get you going on a couple of things today, one of which is from our old mate, former QPR Millwall midfield in Canada, of course, Mark Burcham. He sent out a little picture yesterday.
Yeah, very funny.
And he said, throwback to when I thought it would be great banter shaving a tash and wearing a tie out of lost property for the Bahamas FA official photo. That's right. So he's gone for that little sort of chin goatee, the very small
the Van
one.
Van Dyke, I think. With
the, yeah, it's
not
the
Virgil.
Not Virgil, but, you know, the Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Witchfinder General, he's gone down that route. He said, so he did it as a bit of a joke, but only to realise later that it was my official FIFA photo and it would follow me everywhere. So everybody's been having a bit of joy of it. Pictures of Swiss Tony from QPR fans, a nice one from his brother Lee. They had him out the front of the local KFC looking like the Colonel. So he's taken a bit of clog, but he put himself through it, so it's fair game. But sometimes there are photographs that haunt you. There are photographs that are taken and then they get reused. Or maybe they've popped up on social media. Maybe it's ones that you're a bit embarrassed about. Maybe it's something at a party that you did.
I've got a terrible one on my train pass. I look ludicrous. And also on my passport, because we lost the passports, we were stuck somewhere. We didn't think we'd be able to get back. Basically, we look haunted.
Yeah. But I mean, it's often the ones that people can see publicly, but or the photo you think, oh, why do you keep dredging that one up? Mm. Tell us in what circumstances that happened to you this afternoon, the photograph that haunts you, or maybe you do it at a devil, maybe there's one of your partner or whoever that you just like to troll out of a mate. Just because you know it winds them up. Do let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Now, Room 101, of course, was a very popular show for many years.
Started on radio,
yeah. I think. Was it with Paul Merton or Nick Hancock?
Nick Hancock.
Frank Skinner did a brilliant job with it after that. Paul Merton did do it on the telly, I'm sure.
Yeah, he did do it on the TV, yeah.
But now it's back on radio, you tell me.
Yeah, it's on tonight on another station.
Of course it is, yeah. It'd be weird if we suddenly started running it. But you said to me today, I've got a Sporting Room 101.
Well, I thought the listeners would as well, yeah.
Yeah, so what was yours?
Mikel Arteta's hair. I just find it so annoying.
Is that what you'd put in there?
I'd shave it off and put it in Room 101.
Okay, fair enough. All right, then. Well, look, that's Andy's kicked us off. If you want to join in on those, I mean, you know, the more obscure, the more interesting, the better. So do let us know if there is a sporting example we'd love to know. Talksport.com/H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. TSHANDJ on that. And those photos that haunt you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy mentioned earlier on that he wanted Mikel Arteta's hair in his own personal Sporting Room 101 as it returns tonight.
And Brighton.
Okay, you've just added them to the mix, haven't you? All third and fourth place playoff games would definitely go into my Sporting Room 101, says James in Clitheroe. He's absolutely right.
That's
there, isn't
one.
He? No one ever wants them.
No.
Forest yellow away shirt. Would go in there to say goodbye to our abysmal away form. But it didn't matter, Pete, in the end, did it? He got over the line with the home form. So, yes, them trainers with the thick white sole that all the pundits wear on TV, says Mossy the Leeds fan. So, yeah, you can keep those coming. Andy gave us Mikel Arteta's hair as it's returning to radio tonight. Yes, we're after your Sporting Room 101s. And, of course, those pictures that haunt you. Tell us about those. Our old mate Mark Burcham, an old picture that he thought he was just throwing away for a laugh, is now his official FIFA photo as he coaches everywhere, making him look like, yeah, Vincent Price in Witchfinder General with the Van Dyke look.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Just want to issue a get well soon, a speedy recovery to Roy Smolanich. Roy is a big Talk Sport listener and listens to the show a lot, often gets in touch. He's also Birmingham City's official photographer.
Oh, I saw this, yeah.
And much loved in football circles. He had a stroke recently and is back home and making a good recovery, we understand, on the basis that listening to us is part of the recovery because he does listen to the station a lot. We wish you well, Roy, yeah, and look after yourself and, take care.
Definitely. Now, this is a bit ironic. Excuse me. Somebody published a list of the top 10 UK areas with the worst weather conditions. And number one was Burnley. And
I thought, home of?
Home of Ketters.
Yeah, John Ketley, the weatherman. The man we always turned... Yeah, he's got the worst weather. It's like a little terrible microclimate he's got going there. It's probably his fault. We asked you off the back of Mark Burcham's official FIFA photo, which he now regrets because it haunts him. In one of my old school class photos, I'm making a big point of showing off a new watch I had with a ludicrously big leather watch strap. I look like a complete Burke in it. Makes me cringe every time I look at it. Paul Forrestall, Paul. Yeah. Chelsea fan. Hello, Paul. Thanks very much for that. Andy, he was after your Sporting Room 101s this afternoon. The phrase, the Liverpools, Manchester Uniteds and Arsenals of this world. Stop it. Says Richard.
That's a Brian Marwood.
That's a Brian Marwood. The Brian Marwoods of this world. Yeah, yeah. That's Richard in Newcastle. Jordan Henderson's stupid feet trotting or dance before lifting a trophy. It looks stupid. In the bin, says Gaz, who's a City fan. Thank you, Gaz, for that. A lot of it is obviously club bias. G the Gooner in Exeter says, Antonio Conte's wig. Not a wig, G.
No.
A weave.
Weave.
Yeah. Done for him, I think, in Vancouver. We're hoping to have
a
chat.
Was it that same bloke?
Yeah, I think it was. We're hoping to have a chat with the man himself, the surgeon who is the weaver to the stars of football. He has certain theories on it. Interesting piece in the
Weaver to Wearer.
Yeah. Interesting piece in the Telegraph the other day where they had a common conversation. He believes it gives these guys more confidence, allows them to perform better with the full head of hair. He's been doing a fair bit of work at Arsenal. He wants to get his hands on Rafa Nadal's barnet, apparently.
There's only one thing wrong with that theory. Pep Guardiola.
Oh, that's true. But he has decided he doesn't care. You know,
well, he looks
he's quite happy with the look. But for those that aren't, it just maybe does give them that confidence. What have we got here? Another Football Room 101, or sporting, doesn't have to just be football, would be the current obsession of classing every single player as either overrated or underrated. Why can't they just be rated?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, that's fair enough. Anthony and Richarlison doing pointless stepovers and tricks to justify their price tags can go into Room 101, says John in Liverpool.
I know this will affect TalkSport's output massively, but I hate comparing stars from eras with each other. Is he a better player than this one? And I always think it's absolutely pointless. It's completely subjective.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry, all you other producers.
Well, do you want to do one of those now?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Yes, we'll bring you an early news and sport, and then we will be hearing from Gareth Southgate and our own Faye Carruthers once the England squad is announced for the forthcoming Euro qualifiers, and that's at 2 o'clock. Anything else you want to talk about today, Andy?
Yes, I love these letters that people write to the newspapers. This is one's about Eddie Howe. He said he's among nominees for the Premier League's manager of the season. He deserves praise. You think, he has had quite a lot of praise. It's like,
yes.
It's as if like no one's even noticed Eddie Howe. Tremendous.
Lord Sugar has said that he doesn't buy off-the-peg suits. Not because, you know why?
Well, he says he's probably a funny shape, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, he says his backside is too big.
Yeah, I sympathise with it. It's difficult.
Is that an issue you find?
My legs are too short.
Really?
Yeah, so if I
can't
buy
a short fitting,
a normal suit.
It looks like a drape jacket on you, does it?
No, the jacket would be all right, but the sleeves would be too long, so they have to be altered. And then the trousers have to be taken in, because if you just shorten them, they end up like flares. They're like extremely wide. It's not a great look.
So I
do sympathise with him there.
But the thing is, now he's confessed that and said that, every time you see Lord Sugar, which isn't that often, even on... rarely do you see it. You rarely get a rear shot of Lord Sugar without a coat on, covering his rather large posterior. So you rarely see him in a T-shirt and jeans,
do
you?
That's not his look, is it?
It's not really his look.
I've seen him in cycling wear.
Oh, yeah.
Cycling shorts.
Did he look like he was big of bum or not?
Well, I couldn't tell, really.
Wouldn't go looking for it, really, would you?
Not really, no.
I mean, not noticeably. Not noticeably, I would say.
I mentioned earlier that the Chelsea Flower Show doesn't have any flowers in their show gardens.
Right.
And somebody wrote, Mick from Wrexham wrote to the Sun.
Oh, Mick from Wrexham, yes, okay. Is he a regular there?
He is, I think, yeah. He said, what's happened to the Chelsea Flower Show? This year has featured weeds and rusty ironwork.
Yeah.
Which I agree with. But then he says, the only thing there of outstanding beauty has been Kate, Princess of Wales.
Okay, there he is. He's aiming for some kind of medal there.
Absolutely.
Okay, we did ask you because Room 101 returns to radio tonight. Mm. And Andy gave us Mikel Arteta's hair as the sporting item he would put in Room 101. This comes from Bobbo in Sidcup. Managers wearing jeans. I don't quite know what it is. Feel free to explain why it bothers you so much. The term six-pointer, no such thing, says Andy's,
he's right.
Andy the Warsaw fan.
He's absolutely spot on.
When footballers say, like I said in interviews, when they haven't actually said anything. Thank you for that. Saying football club after the team's name. Years of age when talking about a player. An acquisition when talking about a signing, says Andy the Millwall fan. Oh, you're like Andy. All of you are like Andy Jacobs, getting wound up about nothing.
That's good.
Paul in Brighton, this is an odd one. He says, commentators using the phrase nothing doing. I don't talk about that one very often. A lot of people saying Daniel Levy. Okay, fair enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I've just voted for Clive Myrie in the National Television Awards.
You really?
Well, I felt guilty. I've given him such a coating.
You haven't given him a coating. He just reads what's put in front of him.
No, he writes that.
You think he...
Oh, yeah.
He writes it.
I think he does.
You know how telly works, Andy. You think he just sits there, poor? You think it's like his baby?
I feel that he does.
This was Andy's mastermind fixation. I'm sure it'll be back when the new series returns.
Not the plumber.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Room 101 returns to the radio tonight. Andy had a Room 101 from the world of sport for us earlier on, which was Mikel Arteta's hair. That's going in there from his point of view.
Poor old Mikel Arteta's
hair. Mike in Manchester says, managers and players who say before a two-legged tie, you can't win the tie in the first leg, but you can definitely lose it.
Yeah.
Utter wibble, he said. It's a lovely word, Mike. Thank you very much.
It's true.
Keep those coming. We've got plenty of them. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSHNJ. Now, we've been chatting to Paul Watson, one half of the excellent Sweeper podcast, looking at some of the weird and wonderful tales from the world of football. Lee Wingate, his co-host, joins us today, fresh from the Liechtenstein Cup final. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon, guys.
So, what was it like? Is this your first visit to the Liechtenstein Cup final, or you're a regular?
I did go last year to a game in Liechtenstein. It's a very quirky, interesting country. It's the only one in Europe that doesn't have its own league. And that means that the cup final takes on additional importance because it's the only route for any of these teams to get into Europe. And there are only seven teams in the country, which makes it very interesting.
So they don't clearly play a lot of football. They just play each other all the time in a non-league. Is that how it works? Or they just play a massive cup competition?
Well, the cup competition works essentially so that they bring in their second and third teams, right, which is how they organise it so that there's enough games. But what that means is that sometimes in the past, teams have played against their own reserves in the cup. And that's actually what happened in the semi-finals this year. One of the teams I saw in the final, Bowsers, they beat their own reserves in the semi-finals, which is always a bit of a a bit of a strange one. And they were up against Vaduz in the final, who won while I was there, their 49th domestic cup, which is a world record. They dominate this competition like pretty much no other. But it was, it's a very strange atmosphere there. Everybody's so used to Vaduz winning that there's not really much enthusiasm for it. I think every other fan is sort of resigned to the fact that they're not going to win. But yeah, it was good to see anyway, and Vaduz comfortably won 4-0.
So a bit like Manchester City.
And so then you decided to have a hike across the whole of the nation, of the whole of the country,
yes,
and take in all seven of their football stadiums. But it only takes a day in Liechtenstein, is that right?
Well, I thought it would take a day. I severely misjudged it. So the country has basically created an app for itself where you can hike across, it's called the Liechtenstein Trail. And it's 75 kilometers long, and it takes you through various checkpoints through all 11 municipalities in Liechtenstein. You sort of stop off, see the stuff, it tells you information. I decided that I would, create seven additional checkpoints of my own and go to all of the stadiums, which was a lot harder than I thought it would be because there are some very, very steep inclines. It's a very hilly country. And so I didn't quite make it in one day. I took my girlfriend with me, actually. I think she was severely questioning her life choices by the end of the hike.
It's good that you've got a girlfriend.
So, Belenenses, I seem to remember them as a top Portuguese side playing in the top division, taking on, that's a nice room 101, the Portos and Sporting Lisbons of this world. That will annoy one of the listeners. Belenenses, you say they've just have got a world record five consecutive promotions. Were they sort of busted down to non-league? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. So there was one club previously, and as you say, it was, it was actually quite a good club, one of only five teams to ever win the Portuguese league. And at the end of the 2017-18 season, they split into two. There was a long-running feud between the two entities, and one of these entities, which became known as BSAD, kept their first team playing staff, their league position in Portugal's top flight. You may actually remember them because last season, they only had nine players for a game against Benfica. Still went ahead, and they lined up with a 4-4 formation and got like thumped 7-0. Yeah. So that's BSAD. And then the other entity is Belenenses, who started at the bottom of the pyramid in the sixth tier. And they've now been promoted a joint world record five times in a row to reach the second tier. The other team, in the meantime, have been relegated to the second tier. So next season, we could see these two clubs that split apart in a very sort of unpleasant way go head to head again in the Portuguese second division.
Well, we're looking
Can I just say, B said, I prefer Bobby McFerrin's team. Be happy.
Be happy. They're a lot better. That's true. It's a bit like Wimbledon and MK Dons, isn't it? When they play each other, I guess it's a bit like that.
Yeah, I suppose it's a sort of similar thing. I think the split was a result of some Portuguese football administration that I don't fully understand, but they seem to really hate each other. And if they do play against each other next season, I think it will probably get a little bit nasty. BSAD, the team that kept their place in the division in question, in the second division at the time, the first division, then got relegated the second. They're almost on the verge of going down to the third division. So they may end up sort of passing like ships in the night and not actually play each other.
Yeah.
So that'll be one to keep an eye on.
They're all good, these stories, aren't they?
Yeah. And now we may follow this up tomorrow, find out a bit more about it. But I think it's the second time they've done it. Lantwit Major in Wales, the naming rights to their stadium for next season for a tenner. I think this is the second time they've done it via a raffle.
Yeah, they have done it once before, and there was an absolutely brilliant name in the 21-22 season. So the girlfriend of one of the players won the raffle that season and named the stadium after her dog. So for one season, it was known as the Prince Moomin Palace.
Fantastic.
And that's the risk you take when it's a raffle for a tenner, isn't it? There's always a chance. I mean, everybody's got to give it a go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to call it the Tottenham Hot. I'm going to call it the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for my tenor, because it's actual naming rights there, which of course the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium doesn't have. So I think a lot of people will be giving it a try.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a tenor, so you might as well give it a go. This is a club that's got a bit of previous when it comes to sort of humorous ventures. They announced their kits for next season a couple of months back, and they've got one which is like a dinosaur strip, and the other one, I think their goalkeeper kit is fully Mr. Blobby. Wow. It's a Mr. Blobby shirt.
Brilliant. Okay, look, we'll try and catch up with them again.
Is their five-a-side team known as Halfwit? Probably not.
Well, Lampwit Minor. That's the youth team, of course.
Right.
Anyway, just finally, San Marino. Any of the listeners today fancy going to San Marino to play football for a club out there? There's an open tryout. Trouble is, they are the worst team in San Marino, and San Marino are the worst team in the world, I think, officially, aren't they, calling it in the rankings?
Yeah, although this isn't necessarily a bad thing, because last season's bottom team, Cosmos, there's no relegation in their 15-team league. Cosmos almost won the league this season. So you can go from zero to hero pretty quickly. This season's bottom club, Kailungo, have organised, as you say, these open tryouts, open to the public. I think they're on in June and July. So if anyone out there harbours hopes of playing European football, you could be 12 months away from the Conference League if you successfully get into the team.
Good stuff. Well, okay, just get yourselves out there and give it a try. So that's just the kind of flavour of the sort of stories you'll get in Lee and Paul's podcast, The Sweeper. Where is the new one out now, Lee?
Yeah, there's a new one out. We talk about all sorts of things, the Belarusian match-fixing scandal, some of the stories I've mentioned today, a Faroese goalkeeper who kept a clean sheet at the age of 49. We really try and get around everywhere, and it's on Spotify and all the usual platforms. It's got a sort of retro football logo with a blue background, so quite easy to spot.
Nice one. Good to talk to you, Lee. All the best. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
There we are, co-host of the Sweeper podcast, Lee Wingate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport as Room 101 returns. Andy was interested to hear about your sporting Room 101s this afternoon, and you've responded in your masses. Gareth Bale being interviewed starting every sentence with, yeah, no. To this day, I don't know whether it was yeah or no, says James. He does do that. It's a bit of a quirk, isn't it? But I think we'll forgive him
that. Yeah, look.
Because he's such a good player. He is a bit, yeah, that's right. Put the no-look pass in Room 101. It's only done by posers, but it's pathetic. And it doesn't fool anybody. Gaz in MK. I don't know. I'm not that averse to it. Players taking corners and not putting the ball in the quadrant. I hate this irrationally.
It's very annoying.
Says Pete in Berkhamsted. And the word literally in football Room 101. Jamie Redknapp said Michael Owen in his young days was literally a greyhound. Also heard Alan Smith in commentary say he literally sold the defender a dummy, says Gazette. So yeah, well, quite good. A lot of things have got on your nerves sports wise so keep those coming.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Wow, yeah. I think the secret is don't try and force down a great big mouthful of 2-foot-long hot dog covered in jalapenos, nachos and cheese. Delicious as it is.
Yes.
10 seconds before you go back on.
I'm not a big fan of all that stuff on them.
You like a plain hot dog, do you?
A plain hot dog with some grilled onions, that'll do me.
They're going to be selling them in the stadium, price to be agreed. But they'll feed like 4, 6, 8 people. Yeah, massive. Yeah. So if you are going along to the Cardinals-Cubs game at the London Stadium, you'll be able to buy those. And as you said, we'll be there on the 23rd, the day before the game, for the batting practice, chat to some of the players, some of the fans, and lots more besides.
Yeah, it's a great sport. I love baseball.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Anyway, we turn now to football, and it's a shame. We've had him in the studio for the last couple of weeks, but he's back home now. In Rio. It's Tim Vickery, our South American correspondent. Good afternoon, Tim.
Back home.
Yeah.
I used to say. How you doing? Right?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks.
Yes, it was good to see you.
It was lovely to see you. You're preferring the weather where you are, I guess.
Yeah, although it does get Noah's Ark by about 5:30. So you can't have everything, can you?
No, okay. Oh, yeah. Remember the rain, that biblical rain when we were in Rio for the World Cup before the England-Uruguay game.
When it rains.
It was incredible.
Oh, yes. I remember it well. Yeah. You were all in blue.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. I think we're all in white, but all in light blue by the end of it. So, yeah, it's a thoroughly depressing story. You've kind of walked into a firestorm. It's dominated Brazilian sport, I guess, this week, and what happened to Vinicius Junior, Valencia. So much fallout.
Yeah, I'm glad he got off the red card, though, because I made that point on Sunday. I thought it was a ludicrous decision.
Terrible refereeing. Ugh. But, that's been overturned. Obviously, Brazil as a nation, very upset to see one of their heroes abused like that.
Yeah, this is the first thing that happened to me when I stepped off the plane and walked in the door Sunday night. One of my stepdaughters had it all lined up. Look what's happened. Look what's happened to him now. This has been building and building and building, especially during the course of this season, but really over the last few years. I mean, there's a TV show that I do twice a week now here in Brazil. We've got a correspondent in Madrid, and he's been pointing to this for time. So it really did, although it was shocking, it came as no surprise whatsoever. And you could see from the swiftness of the response from the Brazilian authorities on all the way up to President Lula that they were kind of prepared for it as well. It wasn't a surprise to them. It is deeply depressing, and you do seem to be dealing with a country or significant parts of a country in denial that there's a problem. Now, just to be fair, I know stories personally of black Brazilians who've gone to Spain and are very, very grateful for the way that the country has welcomed them and more opportunities Spain has given them than they would have had in Brazil, because Brazil certainly isn't perfect on this one. But in terms of what happens in the football stadium, you get the idea that Spain is just so far behind with this. And there are massive amounts of people who take the view, which unfortunately I think is also present in Argentine football, that the stadium is a place where anything goes, where racial abuse is just part of the banter of the stadium and putting off an opposing player.
Yeah, that's what it's seen as, putting off the opposing player, but it's much worse than that.
Yeah, the video that he put out, Tim, was horrendous. The compilation of the abuse he has taken from different sets of fans from different parts of the country was shocking.
And it's a disaster, this, for Spanish football. An absolute disaster, because, you know, the Spanish economy isn't that big. Where does the money come from? Now, a lot of it comes from global TV rights and so on. And so for Spanish football to have its dirty laundry being waved so prominently in houses all across the world, and for the fella in charge of the league to go blaming Vinicius.
Yeah.
Rather than it's a disaster for Spanish football. At least I think this is the inflection point.
Yeah,
this is the moment where denial is no longer possible. It's a little bit like, can I take you back? Jerry Dammers, the Specials. If you have a racist friend, now is the time for your friendship to end. It's a little bit like that. That's the feel I'm getting now. Which side are you on? Which side of the line are you on? And you're seeing now that this case has taken on such dimension that finally there are consequences. Finally, there will be some kind of progress. Now, to heap all of this onto the shoulders of a 22-year-old man, I think it's heartbreaking. And maybe, I'm not sure that the Brazilian national team are helping now, because next month is FIFA dates. They still don't have a coach. They're still waiting on Ancelotti. We still don't know how that one's going to play out. So it looks like it's still going to be the under-20 coach. They're going to play two games, one in Portugal and one in Spain. And the idea is that they're making a statement, an anti-racism statement. So essentially, they are forcing Vinicius to play what will become a high-profile friendly now I think against African opposition, in a country where he's clearly not feeling welcome. And I wonder if that's the right way to respond to this. Thankfully, Vinicius seems to have extremely broad shoulders and he deals with it so well. And that's one of the things that gets the reaction. That's one of the things that really winds up the racist, because he will not doff his cap.
No.
And he won't do it. He won't do it. And all credit to him. But it is a lot on the shoulders of a 22-year-old man who, a 20-year-old young man,
yeah,
who seemed so defenseless during this. And you would even question, I think, the support that he's got from his own teammates. Hopefully he can come through it, but he should never have been in this situation, because there have been so many opportunities during the course of the season for the Spanish authorities to say this behaviour is unacceptable and drawn a line in the sand. They haven't done so, and now they are in the eye of the storm.
Yeah. The signs are, though, because he has been very brave and fronted up like that, and as you said, not prepared just to take it as kind of a sea change, a watershed moment. There's a feeling, yes, amongst people in Spain, football pundits in Spain, Guillaume Balaguer, I read today, saying there's a long way to go, but it feels Spanish football has turned a corner this week, and he has cited the many things that have gone on. And Graham Hunter has pointed out that although the initial reaction of the Spanish football press didn't really deal with the racist aspect of what had happened to Vinicius, Graham Hunter says today the first seven pages of Marca are all about racism in football. And some of the things that Marca have said: we have to be anti-racist, we have to fight. The biggest voices in Spain have shown their support for Vinny, who is the victim and should be treated as such. So, you know, look, it's a terrible strain on him, yeah, but he may just bring about a huge change.
Try and defend it. Oh, they didn't say that. Well, they said something else. You think, well, they didn't. And he obviously wouldn't have reacted like that.
The Valencia press still, as Guillaume says, yes, are seeing, yeah, it as an attack on the club. The club, as you've said, Tim, feel it's unfair and they're going to appeal. They are being a touch tone deaf, really, in light of everything that's going on.
Well, just a touch. I mean, yeah, the closure of that part of the stadium is the least, because this wasn't isolated Joe idiot or Carlos idiot here and there. You know, you look at the quantity of people, the number of people involved in the racist abuse is shocking and heartbreaking. Although, as I say, not entirely surprising. There must be consequences. And I think what you're seeing in Spain is a reaction not only on moral and ethical grounds, but on hard commercial grounds as well, because there is no doubt about it. This damages to put this in the most cynical commercial terms, this damages the brand value of the product.
Absolutely.
You know, and also in the next cab off the rank, perhaps, Endrick.
Sure.
Of Palmeiras. He's kind of agreed to go to Real Madrid. Young black kid. What's he thinking now?
Mm.
What are the next generation of talent thinking? You know, am I going to go there? I've got other options. Maybe I'm not going to go there. Bad, bad news for Spanish football. So as well as moral and ethical reasons, you've got solid commercial grounds to get your house in order.
And just finally on this, we've had Pelé's daughter, Kelly Cristina Nascimento, talking about it as well, Tim. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, and she was very much the kind of the spokesperson for the family. But we've had all sorts of things going on here. We've had the Christ the Redeemer statue that I can just about see if I lean a little bit to my left. That was blacked out in solidarity with him. Protests in São Paulo outside the Spanish embassy. So it's really riled people up. Which obviously, as I say, this has an effect on the next generation of players. Suddenly Real Madrid doesn't look quite as attractive if you're a young black kid looking to make your way in the world.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We go again tomorrow, myself and Charlie Baker. Andy, you'll be popping up in the birthday spread, won't you?
Yes. The writers have been struggling this week.
Well, it's the writers' strike, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, so you've been having to do it yourself. Your 10 writers didn't turn up. So do hope you can join us from one. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available at 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.